Hello, this is the Freaksville podcast, and today I'm talking to Michelle Moores, the singer of Telex, about his new solo album.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Fine, very fine.
I must ask the question, after 33 years since your last solo album and your first solo album, so why now a second one?
Because after one, it's two, so it wouldn't be the third. No, I took some time, right? I did some other things, and I think I have 10 versions of each song, so it takes time. It's like having made like 100 songs, so I had to choose which one I would release. It takes time.
Yeah, and is it also a question of you'd been working in a band format for most of your career, so the working solo is less familiar?
Yes, it's really the question, because when you are with a band, it's like a ping pong thing, you know. You have an idea, the other one has an idea too, and you talk about it. But when you are alone, you have to ask the question, answer the question, and make the choice. So it's more difficult. That's right. And I remember already with the first demos, Marc Moulin, who is not with us anymore, told me, Michel, you have to make things more simple, otherwise you would song like Peter Gabriel. So I love Peter Gabriel, but I didn't want to sound... And it took me a lot of years to get rid of many things, many notes.
So when you say you had several versions of each song, it was just different arrangements?
Yes. So usually the same melody, the same words, but different ways to arrange it. And it was more complicated like 10 years ago. Now it's more simple. And I think if I still go on, it will be really simple.
You didn't select finished recordings and put them all together on one album.
I know it's
re-recorded the.
It's like all the demos are almost ready. Oh. So I picked the one I wanted and really finished the balance, the EQs, and so. But the other versions are quite ready to be released, but I don't want to release them.
Yeah, because there's really a continuity of sound right across the album.
Thank you for saying that, because that's why I chose all those ones. It's because it's the last version. No, it's not always the last version. Sometimes I go back to the first version and rearrange it a little. So, well, the idea was to have something quite sounding like coming from the same sound, the same person.
Yeah, and that's very evident.
Thank you.
From listening to it. And there seems to be some interesting themes in the songs, the things you talk about.
It's just before, like when with Telex or in my first album, I was using humor and sometimes second degree. Or third degree.
Yeah.
And even myself, after a while, I was wondering, what did you mean? So now it's really more direct, and maybe I wanted to do something, even if with machines, I wanted to do something human. And at a point that could not write that kind of things myself, so I found someone else a friend in USA who is writing really human things. So it's more direct.
So your friend in the USA collaborated on the lyrics.
Yes,
side of the album.
On two songs.
Yeah.
And I have more in my cupboard, you know, but that are already done musically. But there are only two, yes. But he's like a natural poet. He doesn't publish. And in fact, I found him on Facebook. I was looking for someone making drawings for his sleeves. And his thumbnail was like interesting, like the drawings I wanted, but it was not his. But I read what he was writing, and I liked it. And now we are friends.
Human, curious by nature, we use the right amount of care and discretion. We use the right amount when inquiring about each other. We use the right amount when inquiring about each other.
It's an album of some collaboration. Also, like, I'm thinking of the song Microwave.
Yes, that was recorded. The voice was recorded maybe a few years ago with Claudia Brücken, on a version that I didn't like anymore. So I reworked a lot on many versions, and now I think that's the one.
And it seems to be an interesting concept, and there is humour. There's certainly humour in that song when she speaks about using her mind to heat up pies.
Yes, it's a bit surrealist, like yeah. Belgian one. It's a bit the story of a gigolo, maybe, you know, like heating frozen hearts and then leaving.
Yeah, she compares heating up pies and heating up hearts. And another guest that you have on the album is the singer Dan.
Dan, yes, I love his voice, and I met him when we released the Telex box, and he said, I want to work with Telex if you do something. And suddenly I thought I had a song really for him, because I love his voice, like a male voice, but that can be heard, you know. And with the lyrics on the song, like a man finding back the child in him, I thought it was perfect, so I was very glad to collaborate.
Neven Gideon, never end within you, reacquainting yourself with the child at the end. Reacquainting yourself with the child at waited patiently for a familiar face.
Album, it's a mix. It's a mix of French and English with the songs.
Yes, because even if it doesn't appear in this interview, English comes very often in my mind, and it's probably easier to say some things in English than in French. And also, English is more rhythmic. It's really difficult to make French rhythmically. It's quite different, because in English you have accentuation, and French is more monotonous.
Yeah, so do you move easily between both worlds when you're writing lyrics or singing?
Yes, it's quite natural. Maybe in Belgium too, because many Flemish people don't speak French, and maybe people from Wallonia don't speak Flemish, so the language is English to speak together.
Yeah, and from living in Belgium, I've noticed it's used a lot for publicity, advertising. They like to use an English phrase.
Yes, because it's easier. You don't have to translate in two or three languages. And many people know English, at least the base.
Yeah.
Basic thing.
Yeah, they say with very little English, you can go a long way communicating. But to know it in great detail could take a lifetime.
Oh, yeah, no, I know that, yes. Yeah. I had a cousin who was an English teacher, and that he was always saying that. It's quite difficult to go deep, because usually you have three words for the same thing, because, yeah. Like, for meat, you have the animal, the meat, the dead corpse. So, but that's it.
Yeah, there's a lot of synonyms to say the same thing.
Yes.
So, a technical question: how did you construct the songs? Was it using a particular software, or were you using hardware synths?
It's very simple. I use my logic in my computer, and only one other application. So there are many nice sounds, and I work on the sounds. I don't take them like that, but usually they all come from Logic. And it's easier to travel too, because you have everything in the computer.
Do you miss the old days of when with your bandmates, when you were in a room full of old antiquated analog keyboards that get hot and go out of tune? And
I miss the friends, and I miss the way we were working with Dan and with Mark. But in fact, I don't miss the machines, because I was the less freak. Because to say the truth, the first demos were made with a guitar, so. Due to the skill of Mark and Dan, it became electronic. So I don't miss. I had a few machines with buttons and wires, but it's boring for me. No, I understand people trying, but it's like in architecture. I love to have a frame, and when in architecture you have the weather, the ground, the way the sun comes, and so you have to take care of many things, the other houses. And in music, I like to hear a sound and see if it brings some emotion to me, or if I can work on it. But to make a song myself, doesn't interest me very
through
much.
Through my eyes, I can reheat frozen pies and then eat. Through my eyes, I can reheat frozen hearts and then leave. But headache is the price.
What do you think about there seems to be a real resurgence for all those bands from the 80s who were, a couple of years ago, they were playing maybe a little festival somewhere in the north of England, and now they're playing New Zealand, Australia, San Francisco, huge festivals where the appetite for those 80s electronic bands and pop bands has really taken off.
It was a nice period, and there were good sounds, good melodies, maybe easy music, and now everybody is used to that kind of music, and maybe the 80s is like a dream, and all, because now it's not a dream anymore. I mean, it was the beginning in the 80s, but it was so much new things and research, and electronics were coming, so many new things and melodies, and it's all over the world like that. If you travel a little, it's like that too, especially from England.
Yeah, there seems to be a generation where it's real nostalgia for them.
Yeah,
and then you've got a younger generation where they want a piece of it, because it speaks of good times and fun.
And probably the arrangements were a bit easier, and you feel like you are able to do the same, and you have some reference,
yeah.
And so you can start from somewhere. Yesterday I heard a French singer, a young girl, who was singing. It was a nice song, but it was really, really copied from Jacquenot. The keyboard, it was like coming from the 80s, you know, but it was now.
Yeah, so maybe it's seeping into what people are doing.
Yes, maybe it's already in the gene.
Yeah,
it's like they were born with that, maybe in the womb of their mother. I don't know.
Yeah, because I remember as a kid, it was always we were talking about the 60s and how the 60s was this amazing golden age, and you felt like you'd missed out somehow.
Yes, that's right.
And now it's come full circle. And you feel kind of the word smug.
Yes,
you know, I'm the look at me.
Yeah, right.
I'm the lucky one. We kind of feel the same.
It's funny for me sometimes to see what the young people discover or like, because it's like I wouldn't like that anymore, you know. But let's discover.
Yeah, and today there's with the rise of artificial intelligence, and is that a reference, the title of your album, is that a reference to artificial intelligence?
I played a little, because the title is As Is. Yeah. C'est comme ça.
Yeah.
It's like you buy what you get what you buy. So it was funny, it was maybe like for me saying it's last album before artificial intelligence, because it's frightening. And in photography, for example, or cinema, or politics, it's really frightening. For music, I don't know, it's a bit less, I think, but it's frightening anyway.
I think it will come with music also.
Yes, it's already there, because I think.
Perfect. AI. Yeah.
Yes.
An English person sees that and just thinks AI, artificial intelligence.
Yes, that's
it. In French, it's the other way.
That's why I put majuscule. How do you say majuscule?
Uppercase.
Uppercase
letters.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
Capital letters.
Yes,
that's
right.
Okay, Michelle, the album is going to be released on vinyl. It's on Freaksville Records. Does that format have a special place in your heart? Or is the format not so important? It's the music.
I think the object will be nice, because it's going to be transparent with just orange.
A kind of splash.
Splash.
Yeah.
So it might be a game to find the right song because it's going to be a bit difficult. Already there's not much space between the songs and you might be mistaken with the other side. No, it's funny. It's a nice thing you can go through, see through. There's a little trick on the cover, so you have to think.
The concept of buying something, having a physical object that you bought with the music, is important. And the idea of buying an MP3, that's a kind of intangible concept. So thank you, Michelle. It's been great talking to you. So the album is released on April the 19th on Freaksville Records. This is the Freaksville podcast. I've been talking to Michelle Maud. Michelle, it's been a pleasure. So goodbye. I look forward to holding the album in my hands.
So am I.
As a tangible object.
Thank you, Brian. Okay. And thank you, Freaksville.